On our Money Sense this weekend, Kevin Hegedus is here to calm your investor nerves. We'll get Money Sense going after this break.
Hello and welcome to our Money Sense program. I'm your host, Brent Lux. I'm the lucky guy that gets to be on here every week. And joining me today is Kevin Hegedus. Kevin is the founder of PWM Financial Services, Inc. He is a registered portfolio manager with QWealth Partners. And Kevin, it's always great to get some of your very precious time. Thanks for joining us on the show. I understand that today we're going to be talking about a pretty mixed bag here. We're looking at the markets, some of your past farm events that you held this fall, investor behavior, and we'll also delve into some of the questions that farmers may have right now regarding land here in Saskatchewan.
We got an action-packed show, Brent, and it's good to be here. But I guess to start off, let's talk about the markets. You know, there's a pretty famous quote by Sir John Templeton, and the quote is, "This time it's different." And, you know, it's kind of a cautionary reminder for all of us when we're looking at the markets these days as well.
So for all of our listeners and our viewers today, whether they're in the car, out on the farm, or having a coffee at home, what's the real takeaway right now? How do they know where we are right now?
There's another gentleman, his name is Howard Marks. He's one of the most successful investors in history and someone that I've followed for many, many years. And he recently pointed out something very interesting, Brent. He said, when the S&P 500 ratio is trading at around 23 times earnings in the past, the following 10-year returns have landed between plus 2% and minus 2%. So to put that into context, right now we're sitting at about 25 times earnings. So this has got investors a little bit skittish, obviously.
Just a little bit. So then how does someone listening today use this information?
I think the first thing is, you know, don't try and predict the future because no one can. Instead, start with a tool that we use for every client. So we use something called the Risk Tolerance Questionnaire. And this is a very detailed questionnaire that covers 25 questions that speak not only to your ability to accept risk, but also your willingness to accept risk. And I'm going to explain the difference between the two of these. So our ability to accept risk is going to answer questions like, what's your net worth? What's your income? What's your time horizon? All those financial questions. But willingness is a little bit different. Willingness is going to drill down into questions that touch on the psychology of investing. And these questions are really meant to take a deeper dive into how behavior shapes our investment decisions. So how would you react, as an example, if your portfolio dropped 10 or 20%? So these questions really shape our behavioral biases. And you know, Brent, this is why in some cases, really smart people make bad decisions when it comes to money. And by the end, what we get is a really clear picture of our client's comfort level, not just from the numbers on a page, but from how they think and feel. And that really helps us when we're building a portfolio and setting up the mix of investments that they should be in.
Now, Kevin, you've been in this business for more than 30 years. You've seen a lot of ups and downs in the markets in that time. Can you give us just a few reminders so our listeners, our viewers maybe realize that isn't that different at this time?
Absolutely. And to be honest, Brent, none of this is new. You know, people have been getting caught up in the next big thing for hundreds of years. And the one that I always like to go back and look at is the famous tulip bubble back in the 1600s, right? And it wasn't technology, it wasn't AI, it was actually flowers. And back then, people convinced themselves that the price would keep going up. And at one time, a single tulip bulb was worth more than someone's house. And it sounds ridiculous now, but in the moment, it felt pretty normal for these people that were living through it.
So I know you did some seminars this fall, you and your team, Life After Harvest. I understand they were a big success, no big surprise there. I can imagine that with land values being at all-time highs these days and the aging farming population, you probably had a few very interesting conversations at these events.
They were a huge success, and it really speaks to the need of this type of planning for Saskatchewan farm families. But let me share a couple of stories with you about two families that I met. So the first one, it was a couple in their 50s. He farmed with his dad since he got out of high school. They have three daughters. None of those girls are going to take over the farm. So they made a decision for their situation that at this point in time, it would be best to sell. So what we were able to do, Brent, is we coordinated a meeting with our entire team. So we have Tim Hammond from Hammond Real Estate listing the farm for sale right now. Ron Brown from MMP is helping restructure some of the land that was held in the corporation to make sure that it's going to qualify for the capital gains exemption. We also have Allison Qatari, our legal expert, and she was able to structure proper wills and powers of attorney, but also put into place a bare trust that ensures that they're going to have a reduction in their probate costs. And then finally, Andrew and I built a financial plan and investment portfolio that's going to ensure that their assets will last a lifetime, but also they're going to be able to leave a nice nest egg for those three girls. So I was really proud of the way our entire office was able to coordinate this plan between all those professionals and really give this family peace of mind. And, you know, there's another cool conversation that I had as well. So I met a guy, gentleman, he was in his late 70s. He's got 7 quarters of land and he's been renting them for several years. But the story actually starts much earlier than that. So his father in the 1940s actually got out of farming. He was in southern Saskatchewan. Him and his brother hopped on a train and they went up to join a thrashing crew in the Melford area. And while they were harvesting this particular quarter of land, the wheat yield that year was 60 bushels an acre. So think of that in the 1940s. Like it must have been just an unbelievable bumper crop. And this guy couldn't believe his eyes, especially after selling that marginal land down in the southern part of the province. So he not only decided to relocate to that area, he actually bought that quarter of land that he worked on. And the man that I met was this guy's son. And this guy farmed that land his entire life. And he was in my office and he wants to pass that on to his kids. And we're in the process of building a plan right now to make sure that that happens, but to make sure it happens in the most tax efficient way. So that was a really cool person to meet.
It's nice that you're getting all these numbers figured out for these people, but I'll bet it's giving them just a tremendous peace of mind as well for them and their families working with your team. Do you find that families who maybe came from more modest beginnings and now face these incredibly higher land values, are they really looking for guidance on how to navigate this newfound wealth?
I'm glad you brought that up. And I met another fantastic couple that came to the Saskatoon event that we did. And we're actually in the process of building a plan for them right now. But in our first meeting, they do a lot of traveling. So I asked them about their travel budget. And they actually said that they want to increase it. And they had one of their children there that day. She was 35 years old. And she looked at her mom and dad and she said, "Dad, how much do you spend on these vacations anyway?" And this is a cool response. He said, "Not a dime." He said, "You are. It's all coming out of your inheritance." And we got a pretty good chuckle out of that one, right?
Yeah, I can imagine. Retiring, selling, renting must be overwhelming for some of these families when they look at the situation. So how do you then help clients make these decisions, make a plan?
Well, you know, it's something that I talked about for years now, and having a well-defined plan in place. And with PWM now focusing on the family office structure, having all of these professionals under one roof, collaborating and building plans for our clients, I've never felt more confident that our clients have the best probability of success right now, Brent.
Having a great conversation with Kevin Hegedus on this edition of Money Sense. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. This is Money Sense. Welcome back on our Money Sense program. Brent Laux in conversation with Kevin Hegedus, the founder of PWM Financial Services, and a pretty broad-ranging conversation that we're having here today, but it all does tie in to helping families make plans, making families on the farm decide what they're going to do with the future as far as their land and their farm holdings. I want to shift gears a bit here, though, Kevin. A lot of people think pensions are something that only government workers employees get. You've been talking more and more about the idea of building your own personal pension. So what does that really mean then for a farm family and for business owners?
I know, another good question. And Andrew actually went through this in great detail at our farm events. You know, most people listening today don't have a traditional pension, right? They've got land, they've got a business, they might have savings in their RSPs or their tax-free savings account. And maybe they sell a quarter or two someday when they retire or they sell their business. But the challenge here, Brent, is converting that value into steady, reliable income that lasts their entire lifetime. And that's really where this pension concept comes in. So we take the same principles that these big pension plans use, and then we apply them to that individual family. And the goal here is pretty simple. It's to create dependable income, reduce the big swings, and then make sure the plan holds up through strong markets and through the tough ones. And that's exactly what some of the best pension plans in the world have been able to achieve.
And so when someone sells their land or their business, as you say, you're not just investing that money, you're building a structured income plan around it.
Exactly. You know, that personal pension planning, you take the value that someone's built over 30 or 40 years, and then you try and convert it into a system that pays them consistently. It's going to protect against bad timing. And for most people, obviously, that's going to reduce their stress.
And Kevin, most people, when they think of investing in the markets, it's stocks and bonds. But I know you talk about some other types of investments that you'd be likely to put into one of your personal pension plans.
Most people have a traditional stock and bond portfolio. And early in my career, that's what I was taught to build. So essentially what we did is we matched the person's age with the percentage that they hold in bonds. So for example, I'm sitting down with a 60-year-old person, they're going to have 60% of their money in bonds and then 40% in stocks. And the bonds were supposed to be there to be a stabilizer and protect the portfolio when stocks dropped. And this worked until it didn't. And let me explain that. So 2022, that was a real challenging year for both stocks and bonds. We're on the back end of COVID. We're faced with supply constraints. You might remember back then it was hard to buy a vehicle. Heck, it was hard to buy a set of patio furniture. And that year, global stocks actually lost about 18% of their value. S&P 500 is down 19.5% that year. But this also gave rise to inflation, and it drove up interest rates. And it drove them up so fast to levels that we had not seen in 50 years. And even in Canada, we had 6 or 7 interest rate hikes in 12 months. So this led to global bonds losing 11% of their value. And if you had that 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you were down 15% that year. But if you had a look at the Canada Pension Plan in 2022, they had a positive rate of return. They were up 6.8%, Brent.
And so a listener, a viewer is going to see that and say, how in the world did the Canada Pension Plan manage to be positive when the rest of the guys, the majority of stock and bond markets were negative?
Yeah. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. This is where that pension style asset management really shines. So if you were to crack the lid on CPP and you took a look inside at what they invested in, you'd find that not only would there be traditional stocks and bonds in there, but they also hold non-correlated assets. And this is really the key to building a properly diversified pension style plan. So this is going to help smoothen out the ride. It's going to create steady income that most people are striving for.
Well, while we're on that topic of finding ways to diversify, say like the Canada Pension Plan, I know that you and Andrew at PWM have come up with the Strategic Asset Fund. Can you tell us how that works? What's involved?
Sure, yeah, I'd be happy to. And keep in mind that this would be something that would represent anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 or 11% of a person's portfolio. So if you think about your portfolio as kind of this big pie in that pie chart, this is one wedge inside that pie. And inside this wedge, these are all the different types of investments in there. So we've actually broken it down into, and these are all non-correlated assets. So the whole thought behind this is if we go through another stock market and bond market correction at the same time, is there something that we can invest in that maybe don't go down as much, or maybe they don't go down at all? So we've basically built three different buckets, if you want to call them that, within this strategic asset fund. And the first one we just labeled unique income and growth opportunities. The second one is where we'd hold things like precious metals, futures contracts. And then the third one we call opportunistic investments or trend following investments. So let me explain that first bucket. So in there, we hold things like music royalties. So there's a company that we use called ICM. Our clients actually own over 5,100 songs, 37 different catalogs. It's a pretty amazing investment. In 2022, stock market was down, bond market was down. This investment did over 15% that year, Brent.
Wow.
And year to date, we're up about 10.3%. So very much a non-correlated asset. And we think back to 2022, what were people doing? We're COVID, right? So what people were downloading music and listening to Spotify and Apple Music. Another investment that you'd find in here would be storage units. So when you drive around and you see all those storage units out there with the little garage doors, the company that we use is called Avenue Living. We own over 10 million square feet of storage units in the United States and Canada. 5-year average return is 11.5%. 2022, again, I keep focusing on that year because, again, bad year for stocks and bonds. We're up 12.8% that year. This is also where we own things like infrastructure investments. That's cell phone towers, fiber optic networks. We own cargo terminals, power metering stations. We even own laundry machine contractors. You think about the laundry machines, that you'd find in a hospital or in a hotel. We've invested in that. And we also own car washes. So again, you think about owning car washes, it's a heck of a good investment. So we bought into the Great White Car Wash chain. They're out of Alberta. They're going to have three of them in Saskatoon before the end of 2026. And these are the tunnel style car washes. They've got the conveyor belts. They can wash up to 100 cars an hour. They use recycled water. The cost for them to wash a car is less than $5. Today, people are paying between $17 and $27 to wash a car. So those are just four of the different types of investments that's in here. But another thing I'll touch on is some of the private investments in here. And these are the opportunistic or trend following investments. This is investing in things before they hit the stock exchange. So the company that we partnered with is called Overbay. And their job is to go and find people that want to sell shares in private businesses. One of those businesses that we own is SpaceX, Elon Musk's company. They pretty much have the monopoly on launching satellites, right? That company is over a $400 billion valuation, and they're set to go public, they think, within the next 17 or 18 months. So can you imagine buying Tesla or Google or Amazon or some of those companies before they hit the stock exchange? That's what we're holding in our portfolio. This is in that strategic assets fund sleeve. And again, that might represent anywhere from 5 to 11% of a person's total portfolio. But these are non-correlated assets. If the stock market and bond market go down at the same time, these things aren't dropping to the same extent. And in many cases, they're not going to drop at all. So again, trying to think outside the box, Brent, with some of these different ideas.
Great. Some fabulous insight. Thanks for sharing that with us on what makes up the strategic asset fund. Okay, final thoughts on our program here today, Kevin.
Well, you know, I guess the biggest lesson is this, you know, build a plan that can follow, that can be followed in any environment. You know, volatility is going to come and go. Interest rates are going to move. Markets are going to shift. But if your portfolio is well diversified and it's built like a pension where you've got stable income, you've got growth assets, and you have some of these real assets that I talked about, you don't need to be reacting every time there's some news headline that hits the TV, right? And through our partnership with Q Wealth, we use some of the strategies, again, are public markets, but we have private credit, we've got real estate, we've got infrastructure, we've got these alternatives that I talked about, like music royalties and car washes. And what this is meant to do is smoothen out the ride, create steady income for our clients, and also build a plan that's going to help you stay on track. And again, you don't need to predict what happens next. You just need a portfolio that can support your goals. And hopefully it can do that in good markets and in bad, Brent.
That's what we want, Kevin. Thanks for breaking that down for our listeners and our viewers here.
Always my pleasure. And for anyone out there thinking about selling land, maybe updating your estate plan or building a pension style portfolio, or maybe after you have a business sale, reach out to us. You can call or text us at 306-975-9500. Or just simply go to our website, which is pwmprivatewealth.com.
Thanks, Kevin. That's all the time we've got on our program. Thanks again for guiding us through this very important conversation. And thanks to our listeners and viewers for tuning in to this edition of Money Sense.
My pleasure. Thanks, Brent.
Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. You've been listening to Money Sense.